And what we've identified is sections 1, 3, 5, 7, 10, and 9 are virtually identical with perhaps the absence of an effective date. So we will be looking at adopting the Senate language on those. And section 8 of the Senate language and section 4 of the House language with some modification. Then we need to get some further testimony on some other sections. And so do you want to offer maybe those are identical.
Do you want to do the speed version of this, Madam Chair?
Unfortunately, the Senate has a caucus in about 5 minutes, so we're going to be moving through this as quickly as possible.
Well, Madam Chair, how about then if I just move adoption of the Senate language and the seabed article of the side-by-side sections 1, 3, 5, 7, 9, and 10.
Okay. And for those members who may not have been part of the discussion just recently, that is virtually identical language, with the exception of a start date. And so is there any further discussion on those sections? Again, 1, 3, 5, 7, 9, and 10.
Senate language?
Yes.
Then all those in favor, please signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Those sections prevailed or pass. And then section 4 was a House section. This related to priority for seabed, although there is a section 30.11 to 30.15 that we are going to move into a different subdivision. Was that 3?
Madam Chair, I think you're...
Subdivision 5 of the House.
Right. So that would,
R27.
Madam Chair, be on page R27, lines 30.4 through. The period on line 30.11, and then lines 30.16 through 30.26.
So are you following there?
So,
Representative Kalin, I'm sorry. Okay. Representative Kalin.
Madam Chair, just an inquiry about this is what we are adopting.
This is what recommended to be adopted.
Thank you for the clarification.
So, Madam Chair, that would be my motion, the lines that are just outlined.
Okay. Any discussion on that motion? Then on Representative Hilty's motion, all those in favor, please signify by stating aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? That motion prevails. And then Section 8 would be the House or the Senate language.
That's Madam Chair, the Section 8 is the last line of Senate language on page R35 and extends through R36.
Okay, and that is recommended for adoption.
I would move adoption of Section 8 in the Senate language on pages R35 and 36.
Any discussion? Okay, then on that motion, all those in favor, please signify by stating aye.
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 Opposed? So those sections have been adopted for the conference committee report. I think that we need further information at this time on sections 2 and 11, and also
you can have that
on 2 and 11 at this time. And that would be the Senate sections 2 and 11. And section 11 is about the wind development study or the five-year lease agreement on the land. And I'm wondering if there is anybody in the audience that would be able to testify as to how much land is being tied up by current development, the current development process, and why the five-year plan might be advisable or not advisable. Ms. McAbee?
Just this part. Okay. Two pages over, I think it was.
Yes, Madam Chair.
It could be inserted here on our
conversation. Farmers and it was here earlier. Around somewhere, so we can find them.
Anybody knows where Mr. Tom Peterson is, we might ask him to come and testify also. Ms. McAfee.
Excuse me.
And Madam Chair, perhaps also Mr. Andrew Falk would want.
Would you pull the microphone in front of you?
Very rarely do people tell me I'm not speaking loud enough, Madam Chair. Perhaps Mr. Falk would want to speak on this as well. This provision. My name is Paula McAbee, and I'm working with Windustry. And Windustry is a nonprofit that works to facilitate community-based wind projects in Minnesota and actually in other places in the country as well. And this effort came out of, there was a study that Windustry participated in and facilitated that was done in 2005 looking at best practices across the country. And one of the strong recommendations was that there be a limit on the time where there are agreements with farmers, after which time either the project would have to be built and wind energy would be developed, or the landowner would have the opportunity to negotiate again. And this study was really the basis of enactment of laws in North Dakota and South Dakota, both of which have five-year limits on them. The other recommendations were that there be a provision that wind rights can't be severed from the underlying property interest, because what has been discovered is when that takes place that it becomes very hard to put together projects for wind, because the ownership in the underlying fee and the ownership in the wind can be separate. As far as we're getting information, a lot of the information is based in California and in Texas of what is just starting to be a gold rush in Minnesota. And what the information we're getting is that there are literally thousands of megawatts of wind rights that are being purchased and monopolized, oftentimes by companies that have primary interests in fossil fuels. And the term of these lease agreements, we haven't been given a whole lot of trade secret information, but can be anywhere from 10 to 12 years, which is far more than what is needed to put together a project. So there are two risks. One is simply monopolization of those rights so that smaller community-based players don't even get a chance to have access to the wind rights. And the other is what we coined the term stockpiling, which is that people would buy up the rights, which for a large corporation is not a very substantial investment, and simply not proceed at this point to develop wind, but just look at it as something in the future. Windustry also contacted some of our small developers and asked for a response to the question asked by Mr. Bull in his side-by-side, is 5 years enough? And we got communications back from Mark Willers and Andrew Falk and Dan Jewell and a couple other developers that 5 years is certainly long enough to put together a project and that they favored these limitations. I think one of the other issues that the smaller developers brought up is when there are projects that are identified that may not have reality but are identified and they pay their money into the MISO queue, they may end up taking the space in the transmission so that a smaller project, a Minnesota-based project, is behind them in line and doesn't get access to transmission. And so in addition to the concern about tying up wind regimes, there's also a concern about the projects tying up the transmission availability that community-based projects might need in order to get their energy to market. And I hope I've answered the questions. I have been studying this for only a few months, so I'm sure there are developers who know more than I do, but the research seems to be strong that the risk of inaction is high. We've been hearing from both Mr. Peterson and from some of our developers that there's the equivalent of a gold rush happening now that Minnesota has passed the renewable energy standard, and that this provision will ensure that farmers have some control of their land and that community-based energy developers will have a place on that playing field.
So you're not telling us that there are people that want the mineral rights. You're just comparing that to when there was a rush to acquire land for the mineral rights. Okay.
You're right, Madam Chair. I'm using the term gold rush metaphorically, not literally.
Okay.
Thank you.
And have you run into instances where it has been a problem, where land is being tied up longer than that it has made it prohibitive for other development to occur?
Madam Chair, the information that we had that I think we circulated to some people was from the Wall Street Journal. It was reported with respect to in the Texas area. And there, in a very short period of time, I can pull this out here, there was a concentration and an effort to buy wind rights that took place in a very short period of time. Let me just pull that out so I can get the numbers right. I'm sorry. What happened in this area of Texas is that a very small number of companies tied up literally hundreds of acres of wind rights. And we would not necessarily have access. I mean, I've heard from some other legislators in rural areas that they're seeing farmers being approached with contracts with 10 and 12 years. But that's secondhand information. They haven't shared their contracts with me, so I can't assess that aspect. Let me find the numbers here.
How do you know that 5 years is enough? What happens if there's a glitch in the financing or something like that, and it takes 5 years and 2 months to get through?
Madam Chair, the information I've had from community wind developers is they have good relationships with the landowners, and if it's necessary for them to come in and renegotiate an agreement, they can do that. This would not prevent renegotiation. It would just prevent continuation of an agreement without having to go back to the landowner. In some of my other work in the city of St. Paul, I do work on redeveloping inner city properties. And that's, if you have a good relationship with the person who's selling it, you go back and you renegotiate. And so nothing in this law would prevent that from happening. It would just mean that the landowner or the farmer would have some say about the future of that agreement now.
Yeah, Madam Chair.
Senator Kubley.
Yeah, I know a couple instances, I guess, in my district where this has happened. But I think that if a developer has those rights with a property owner, and say they don't get started for 3 years, and it looks like it'll take them longer than that, it would seem to me that it would be prudent for them to renegotiate their contract at that point so that they have the entire 5 years to develop the project once they've got it on the board.
Is there anybody that wishes to offer a different perspective on this? Ms. Solholt.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Beth Soholt with Wind on the Wires. Today I have with me Steve Jones from Inexco. He is a wind developer here in Minnesota. As you may recall, Wind on the Wires has about 20 members right now, nonprofit members as well as wind developers and turbine manufacturers. We've also done some work in talking to our members about this issue, and we've gotten a very different response than Ms. McAbee is indicating. Our members range from John Deere to large traditional corporate developers, and I think they're all concerned about the House version of the language. A couple of things. I think that starting with the procedure, the procedural issues with the way this provision came forward, yesterday in the Tax Committee at 5 o'clock, they heard a provision that is within the same property rights statute. It's an issue that Horizon is dealing with specifically. But both Mr. Peterson's, Doug and Tom for the Farmers Union, testified that the issue had not been through judiciary, it had not been through ag, it had not been through the relevant committees, and that the provision had really wide-ranging consequences that hadn't been fully discussed during the legislative process. And I guess I would suggest that if Windustry really thought that this was as problematic an issue as we're hearing, that they would have had a separate bill that would have gone through the appropriate committees, and it could have been fully adjudicated through the proper committees. And so it seems like there might be a lot of unintended consequences to setting a particular year in statute. In fact, from our members' perspective, as Mr. Jones will testify on a specific project, they're looking more at 10 years, perhaps even more, given the likelihood of new transmission infrastructure. And so we're concerned that not only has the provision not been through the correct committee process, but it hasn't. It is a solution in search of a problem. We don't think that that we're seeing an issue with this. The reason people are doing robust business is because you've just put a big new market in place, and everybody is out doing wind projects, community folks as well as the folks that are in the state to develop more traditional wind projects. So with those couple of points, I guess I'd like to turn it over to Mr. Jones to testify.
Mr. Jones, are you a landowner?
No, ma'am. I'm a developer.
Okay. I'd like to hear from some landowners and how it affects the landowners. Okay. We are going to take a brief recess at this time because the Senate has a caucus at this point. So we will come back at 4 o'clock.